Hello and welcome to The Shape of Work, a podcast series by SpringWorks. My name is Anoop and I am your host. Each week, we'll be talking to top people managers across the world on the future of work and how it's shaping our workplace. So sit back and get ready to find out more from these movers and shakers as we have a no-holds-barred, anything-goes conversation with them about their journey, their insights, their thoughts, and most importantly, their ideas and vision for the workplace of the future. Join in on the conversation, leave a comment, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button.
Our guest on today's episode of the Shape of Work podcast is Suman Rudra, Vice President HR at Byju's. Suman has had a dynamic and fulfilling 24-year HR career as national and international HR head for companies like NCR Corporation, L&T, IBM, HCL Technologies, and others. Suman holds deep expertise in the areas of strategic business partnership, leadership development, succession planning, and best-in-class talent management practices, among other HR facets. Suman is an excellent orator and HR thought leader and is often invited to speak in national and international HR forums and seminars.
Welcome to The Shape of Work, Suman. I'm so very pleased to have you here. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks, Lokesh, for inviting me to this forum. And I think I'm very excited to be a part of this forum, and I think looking forward to our discussion today.
Yes, definitely, Suman. Thank you for that. So I also hope to have a very good conversation with you on this podcast. Suman, without wasting any time, let's get started with it. Okay. First up, I wanted to know if you could tell our listeners about your journey in HR. What was it that made you pick up HR as your career? And how has your journey been? Can you please share some experiences of your journey into HR?
Yeah. So I think my journey is very interesting. In fact, if you ask me, did I plan a career in HR? So I never planned. so it kind of happened by chance. Though I'm an engineer by qualification, and then after that I wanted to do MBA. So after that I did apply to many MBA colleges, but fortunately, I got into a very reputed college of Delhi University, Delhi School of Economics, and they were starting these two courses, international business and HR, and so my calling was for international business, and I applied for both the courses, and surprisingly, they called me and they said after all that selection process that I think we found you good for HR. Okay, so I was kind of taken aback. I said, okay, I went for something else, but I got something else. But then I think, in hindsight, I think a very good decision taken. And sometimes I feel that some of the decisions, sometimes do happen without too much of our, I would say control and influence. Do turn out to be good, and I think this was one of them. And I would say very fulfilling career. I think I always thought HR was kind of an evolving function in India, and I think right so. And I've seen the journey of HR last two decades plus, over worked in various companies, starting from an automobile company to a power utility. To technology companies, to a construction company, and work both multiple locations in India, abroad, Southeast Asia, US, Europe. So I think, so I would say that career has given me that opportunity to go and explore and see and meet people. And I think and HR is one of those, very few, I would say, functions, which would allow you to move, both across industries, across sectors, companies, geographies. Okay, so I think, overall, I think a very fulfilling career. And I think that's what I have to say for even people aspiring that, if you want to be, you don't want to kind of, anybody who doesn't want to get associated with one industry or sector wants to keep options flexible, and I think HR is one of those careers that will give that person different options.
Thank you, Suman, for taking us through your career journey, and I was glad to know about your two-decade-long career journey, and then you also mentioned that you have a very diversified career. You worked with these manufacturing companies, and then you worked with a lot of tech companies. And here, I wanted to ask you something about how the HR functions have evolved over the years. Earlier, when you would have started working, there would not be much of tech adoption. The HR processes would be more of a manual thing. But as the tech industry has been booming over the years, and also it is growing at an extremely fast pace. So do you think the HR function is also working here? And how is it coping with it?
Yeah, so definitely, I think, as I would say that, our daily lives have changed, you know, in the last 2 years, our daily lives have changed. And it has impacted, each one of us, you know, be it our own personal life, be it our career life. So I think HR is no exception, and it has kind of impacted HR also. And but in looking beyond these 2 years, I mean, 2 years definitely has transformed HR, and I will come to that later. But overall, if you see, you know, what HR was doing maybe 2 decades ago and what they're doing now is largely, I think, some part of that is constant. Okay, so largely, the thing is that HR was always there to support and help business achieve their goals and objectives. Okay, now the way it was done earlier and the way it is being done now, I think that has changed. Okay, so some time back, the priority and focus of HRs were different, and today it is different, and it is more, I would say, more agile, and it is more more to kind of manage the I would say the hyper growth environment that we are into today. Okay. Also the talent profile has also changed. You know, so as if you see the demographics of the talent profile which is joining the industry in the last 5 years and going forward. So there was a time in which we had multi-generation workforce. Okay. Some years back. Okay. But now the transition is that 60 to 70% of maybe more than that, 80% in some companies and industries of the incoming talent is maybe a millennial or maybe a Gen Z. Okay, so the talent profile has also dramatically changed, and that has changed the priorities and focus for HR. Okay, so managing a multi-generation workforce maybe 15 years back from today, the priorities were different, and managing a millennial and Gen Z kind of an talent profile today, who have totally different take on working life, who have different aspirations and growth, and so I think that context has changed. That's why I think. But overall, what is the HR there for? To definitely, it's the same thing. Help achieve business objectives and help people grow their careers in the company. If HR can do both part of the job, one is the business part of the job, one is the employee part of the job. So I think that kind of still holds true today. And I think, and that's what each HR leader and each HR professional has to constantly think, I would say, think, rethink, and kind of re-strategize on what makes sense today for the talent profile they're having.
Exactly, Suman. Here, continuing to my question, I have another question for you on the same line. As you're telling us about how the HR functions have evolved over the years, so one very critical function that falls under HR is hiring. So earlier, hiring was a process where people had to reach out to the companies, and then they had to share their resumes. They have to be on the field, right? They had to be on the field in order to share their resumes. But as we all know, we are in a digital age, and sending resumes has become a matter of few clicks now. So this definitely has led to an increase in the flow of resumes. So how do you think a reference check or a background verification comes in these matters, and why is it important?
Yeah, so definitely, with all the processes moving digital, so the speed of information flow has happened fast, I remember earlier, like when I started my career, a person should be carrying one hard copy of the resume, maybe more than one, before going to an interview. And today, you don't have to go to an interview. You can sit at home and give interviews. Okay, So that's the change which has happened. Okay, and but I think it's all for good because, you know, things move fast, decisions are taken fast, interviews happen fast, and I think so overall it's I think the change is definitely good. So the background check always has been a process which was followed some time back also. It was earlier the reference point of background check would be largely education, qualification, experiences. Okay, in today's time it has expanded, so it's not education and experience just alone. So it is more about having a maybe a total social profiling, you know, of some of these employees, you know, who are wanting to become a part of your organization. Okay, so that has become added. So basically, since we all have our what you call kind of a digital life, and we have a digital kind of a footprint out there. So some of the companies are also going forward and kind of analyzing their digital footprint and their digital life through different feeds, social media feeds and things like that, just to ensure that they're getting the right kind of employees, you know, for their organization. That's also because in today's time, everything happens digitally. So that employee going forward may become a brand ambassador, you know, for that company, which is very good, or may also, you know, create some troubles for the company going forward, which is not so good. So the context of, I would say, as I said, of the background check remains, but I think it has expanded, and some of these factors are being considered actively while somebody is getting hired.
Thank you, Suman, for that wonderful answer, and thank you for taking us through how the HR industry has transitioned in these two decades. So, Suman, I also am an ardent follower of your profile, your social profiles, and I always go through the articles that you write on LinkedIn or some other social handles. So there was one article where you wrote about the role of interviews in building engagement. Over there, you mentioned a very good point about why an interview should be a conversation and not simply a question and answer session. Can you suggest some ways that can help in achieving this goal, making the interview more conversational and insightful?
Sure. So I think, but before I answer that, Lokesh, let me take a kind of a step back and maybe kind of highlight why this is needed today. Okay. I think it's important to understand why, you know, the context of it. And I think it's coming from the fact that today, you know, the kind of talent we need, you know, and I would say most of the companies need, and, you know, are very, I would say, are very scarce, so, kind of very limited, you know. That's because the way the industry has suddenly evolved and all businesses are going digital and virtual, suddenly there is a, you know, growth of growth and the need of a talent who can kind of understand and who can deliver this emerging needs of the business. Okay, so the day is not far off. I think it has already arrived when even the biggest purchases of somebody, be it car and house, are happening on online. So the thing is that there needs to be that talent who can, you know, enable this entire process of, you know, selling. Okay, so and that kind of talent is very limited, you know, in today's time, because for various reasons, you know, this was not thought about a, you know, career, but now it's a career now. So I think the critical need for any business which has to survive in today's time is to have all different channels, you know, open for a customer to come in and use this product and services. And more so in the digital space and the online space. So if one has to, you know, acquire talent, and every company is acquiring talent in that space, you know, be it manufacturing, be it automobile, be it pharma, be it consumer goods, durables, you think about it. I mean, there is nobody who's not acquiring talent in that space. Okay, if everybody is acquiring that same kind of a talent, you know, then definitely there is a problem of demand and supply. Okay. And also that the talent has a lot of options today. Okay. So how do you attract the talent? You know, why would that person join somebody with a very high level of digital skills and who can, you know, help transform a business online. Why should a person join a non-tech company, okay, which may typically, you know, have a different, I would say, connotations of working environment and rules, regulations, and things like that. Okay, so I think there comes the rule, you know, the kind of need for having an engaging conversation with the kind of talent, because the company wants this talent to understand the way they are transforming, the way and that person can play a key role in that transformation. And I think not just that, and also to understand the company better, because some of these companies may not have a very wide digital social presence, may not be widely known, heard or read about. Okay, and in today's time, everybody wants to know. I think the total, I would say, you know, the dissection of a company in and out, positive, negative, opportunities, you know, threats, everything. Anybody wants to take a full informed decision before getting into a company. So some of this information may be lying on the web, which may or may not be true. But I think the interview is an opportunity to kind of correct that information, or I would say present the information as it is to the candidate, so that the candidate can make an informed decision. Okay. And sometimes, you know, these processes can help to not just, you know, create a positive impression, but also to, you know, generate some curiosity on the candidate that, yeah, I think this looks like something that I would like to pursue, which before the interview may not have been there, okay, that interest level. So I think this is the need for today. And I think the conversation in an interview today definitely has to move from, you know, tell me what you are, you know, the typical question, or just brief me about your profile. From that question, the conversation has to move to, let me explain you about my company and my role first, okay? And then maybe ask more from the candidate. So I think that's the kind of shift which has happened and which needs to happen for companies to acquire the talent they want.
Thank you for this wonderful answer, Suman, once again. While you were answering this question, you quoted something about candidates taking informed decisions whether to join the company or not and why to join the company, right? So on the similar lines, if I talk from the employer's perspective, they also require something in order to take informed decisions whether to hire the candidate or not. On the social media platforms like LinkedIn, I've seen multiple polls where people talk about how many interviews are sufficient to hire a person, how many rounds of interviews should be done. And there are several other polls which are based on the level of hierarchy that they are hiring for. So what is your personal opinion on this? How many rounds of interviews should be conducted when you are hiring somebody?
Well, I think this is more of a, you know, different companies have evolved different hiring, you know, processes and systems, you know. So I think it is not about how many interviews they want to do, but I think what happens in each of these interviews is very important for somebody to understand. Okay, so there are companies which do multiple level of interviews. Somebody would do a 5 or 6 level interview, but in each of these 6 levels of interviews, you know, the questions that are being asked are not repetitive. Okay. So there is a very focus, each interview has a different focus, okay, and the questions that are being asked in the interview will not get repeated in the next interviews, okay. So those interviews are more, you know, very thought-through process, and I think after the 5-6 interviews are done, maybe, you know, everybody comes together to kind of, you know, share notes and take an informed decision. But many of the companies have copied this process and not in the right earnest and right spirit, but, you know, the candidate goes through not such a good experience, because if he has to explain this, you know, what he did in his career 5 times or 4 times, you know, that definitely is not an engaging discussion and not an encouraging way to, you know, ask somebody to join, okay, or invite somebody to kind of, you know, join a company. So I think that needs to be really thought about, especially companies who go for a multiple levels of interview, that what is the focus of each interview and how this interview is different from the other interviews. Okay, and I think That in fact should be able to answer that. How many interviews do they want? Sometimes, you know, in today's time, if you want to kind of, you know, if you're hard pressed to kind of close a position quickly, I think in today's time, especially in the digital era, it is very easy to do a conferencing interview. So, when I say conferencing, web conferencing in which a couple of analysts come together to interview and then kind of close it out in one interview itself. So there is no need for multiple interviews and spending separate time. So I think it all depends on, you know, what is the need of the business, how quickly they want to hire, what industry they are into, and what is the significance of each interview, you know, towards the decision making, and how do they make the process engaging for a prospective candidate and not frustrating. I think these are the questions which will help, you know, take a decision about how many interviews do they want.
Yeah, thank you, Subin, for elaborating this. You have put out this answer very statistically and factually, I would say. And talking about my personal experience, as you were telling about that some companies have not taken this thing in right spirit, I have been to companies where the similar set of questions were asked to me in 1, 2, and 3 rounds. It's just that the people were getting changed, but the questions were not. I don't know what they were trying to assess. The experience itself was not very good because I had to repeat those answers every time. And thank you for giving the listeners your viewpoint on how exactly the interviews should be and giving them clarity on how many rounds should be done. So I think and I hope a lot of companies out there would be able to put their hand on this conversation and they would be able to take some good pointers out of here. Let's continue on your social media handles. So there was another post from you which talked about the career peak. That is a phase where employees are in the role they always desire to be in. How do you think people managers or HRs can leverage this phase to achieve the best out of their employees?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Lokesh. I think, as I said, you know, I think the time when I had kind of written that article was largely about, you know, thinking of one peak, you know. But now I think over a period of time, you know, I think that, you know, that concept of one peak in somebody's career does not exist. Okay, but I think what has changed is that, you know, the employee is going to have a series of peaks, you know, in his career, and I think it is important for organization to understand that you know, you can only make an employee stay longer and be motivated, be charged and be engaged only if you are able to achieve his peak, you know, while he's there. Okay, so I think how can the companies help? I think one of the most important thing is to, you know, help the employee identify, you know, his strong points, you know, his area of strengths, you know, his area of development, and also to help him identify his peak, you know, where does he want to go, you know, which career he would like to pursue, and once this kind of, you know, clarity is achieved, then to kind of provide the support framework for him to achieve. Okay, so the support framework can be in the form of you know, some of the development programs, you know, which he wants to do, or the upskilling programs he wants to do, or it can also be with the kind of a role that he wants to do, which he's not doing now. Okay, or it can also be in the form of an advisor or a coach or a mentor who will help him to, you know, achieve that goal. So some of these, I would say, levers for somebody to kind of achieve that peak, you know, while he's working there, would definitely be, would go a long way. And there, I think the company can play a great deal of role to achieve the peak. And once the person achieves that peaks, you know, and I think it's important for the companies to also celebrate, you know, so celebrate not just, you know, task and achievements and goal, but celebrate, you know, some of the, you know, high points in somebody's career. Okay, so that there is a remembrance, there is a recognition of the fact that, you know, things have been achieved by him. And so I think this will help the employer to kind of understand the company is not just there to kind of give him a salary at the end of the day, but it's more like a friend and a partner to him. And I think this entire cycle, once completed, can definitely be repeated many times within the same company. And that will make a company, you know, that will make that employee stay longer, because if he's, you know, getting his career peaks in the company that he's working. So why would he need to, you know, kind of move and look for that, you know, opportunity elsewhere? So I think that that has very great relevance in today's time, where people are not so patient and people want to instantly, you know, instant gratification, or I would say, you know, quick career progressions and things like that. But I think if a longer term view is given to an employee with a plan, with the enablers, with the support system, and definitely I think the employee will definitely also look at it as a long term. So I think that's kind of the context of, you know, achieving a career peaks, or I would say multiple career peaks in somebody's own career.
Thank you, Suman, for this. There were a lot of pointers that grabbed my attention here. So you talked about the role of HRs and the people managers, how they actually shape up young talents to being leaders in the future. I hope that the listeners would also be able to pick up some pointers from here and implement them in order to become leaders or become good people managers. Finally, Suman, as I move towards the close of this podcast, I have one last question for you. So this is about all the digital adoption that is happening in today's world. So if I talk about the HR industry itself, there are a lot of digital tools that are available, like applicant tracking systems or say your engagement tools. There are a lot of tech that has come into HR space as well. Where do you feel the HR is headed from here, and what would be the future of HR?
Yeah, that's also an interesting question, Lokesh. And I think this kind of, you know, as I said, the last 2 years have been as a transformational for every industry, including HR as a function. And I think one of the challenges, one amongst the other challenges that HR professionals are facing today, is that what is the role of HR in an environment where they don't see employees coming to office, you know, daily? Okay, in fact, they are also not coming to office daily. Okay, or they're not even coming to office. Okay, so how does HR play a role of an enabler, of a catalyst, of a motivator, of an employee champion, of a coach, of a mentor, of a guide? Okay, when he's not even able to see the person. Okay, so I think that's the kind of basic question one has to answer, and there is no easy answer here, because, you know, I think one of the trends that we are seeing is definitely some of these digital tools is helping to bridge the gap between an employee and an HR firm. Be it a chatbot, be it some of these social connect forums, you know, connecting collaboration tools and things like that. So they're just helping people to collaborate, you know, and replace the, you know, replace the face-to-face meetings and the interaction, you know, the cross-cubicle interaction one is to have. But these are just enough to kind of help, you know, work getting done. They are not able to replace that, you know, the actual role that I have mentioned earlier, you know, which HR used to play. I think we have to go a certain more. I would say we have to still see how technology can be enabled in that space. Okay, the technology definitely is being enabled today, largely in kind of automation of work. Okay. And they have been there, you know. Some time back, the automation was largely processes. Now here, the automation is largely focused on collaboration. So I think that there lies a big opportunity, but I think it's not going to even come soon, because you know, maybe technology has to catch up a lot to kind of move there. But I think meanwhile, HR has to also run their show, and I think. They are trying to kind of bridge this gap by doing some of these virtual connects and digital meets and digital party get together and things like that. but I think the challenge remains, and I think there's no ready answers to that problem. And the problem lies there. And I think one has to kind of look and see, and somehow technology can help bridge that gap.
Thank you, Suman, again, for pouring your thoughts on this question. And there was a tweak in your answer where you used some adjectives for these HR people like mentor and then some. So you mentioned about the different hats that these people wear. And this work actually goes unnoticed in a lot of times. I've seen that. So yeah, with due respect, I feel that the HR folks get the due respect that they should get. So thank you, Suman, for all those insightful answers. These answers were backed with stats, facts, and some theories as well. And with your experience ranging over 2 decades, you have answered all these questions in such a way that the answers would be very fruitful for the listeners, and they would be able to fetch some information from here in order to better their lives as a personal and as a professional as well. So thank you for your time today, Suman. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I hope to record more such podcasts with you in the near future.
Thank you. Thank you, Lokesh, for that opportunity. I think this was an interesting, platform with SpringWorks. And as I said, that some of these platforms are maybe replacing those conferences we used to attend, you know, HR conferences. But I hope soon that they will also start off, okay? just to be, you know, back to normal as soon as possible.